Okay, we're going to start with the Mishnah on Lamed Beit Amud Aleph. The Mishnah starts with Matzah Berefet, Ein Chayav Ba. If he finds it in the cow shed, he doesn't have to worry about it, he doesn't have to classify it as an Aveda. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, of course, what else would you be thinking? Reshut HaRabim, Chayav Ba. On the other hand, if he finds it wandering in the Reshut HaRabim, then he is responsible, or he has to take responsibility for it to return the Aveda. V'mayta b'beit HaKvarot, lo yitameh la. If it was found in the cemetery, then he should not be metameh himself to get it. I mean, a kohen who wants to perform Hashavat Aveda, even though he wants to perform Hashavat Aveda, that does not suspend his need or his obligation not to become tameh. In Marmalo Aviv, he tameh. If the father of this kohen says to him, go ahead, take the Aveda, become tameh. Oh. Or he says to him, you know what, go take it for yourself, you don't have to return it. You do not have to listen to your father in that instant. So if he unloaded and loaded and unloaded and unloaded four or five times, he's responsible, we saw this in the Gemara yesterday, he's responsible to do this over and over again. Shenemar azov ta'azov. Halach v'yashav lo. If the balim went to the side and sat down, v'amar ho v'alecha mitzvah. Since you have a mitzvah to help me out in this instant, imron tzchadli frok. If you want to go ahead, if you want to go and unload him, go ahead and unload him. I'll watch you. Then he's patur. You are patur. Shenemar imo. Right, that you have to, when you do the unloading, you do it with azov ta'azov imo. Right, with it, like we discussed yesterday, when the Gemara said the double lashon of azov tazov says even without the balim. But it's clear from our Mishnah that you have to do it with the balim. That's what Tosfos reconciled, that we're talking about a cholev, a zakein, someone who has an inability to unload it, not somebody who decides not to unload it. Alright, imaya zakein cholev, which is the next line of the Mishnah, if he's a zakein cholev chayav, then even though the balim do not participate, you're still obligated to do it. Mitzvah min haTorah lifruk. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to unload, but not to load. Rabbi Shimon Omer, even to load up the animal. Rabbi Glossi Aglil Omer, im hayala v'yetera masa'o, if he was overburdened or overloaded, ein zakuklo, you don't have to deal with him at all. Shneemar, tachat masa'o, says that he was, under the burden, the animal was struggling, but masa'o means, indicates, masu'i shechol amodbo, that he was loaded properly to start with, that he was not overloaded in the first place. Rather, he was loaded to a proper level. And despite that fact, he's now struggling under that load. And so now you're responsible to help him out.
So you're responsible? Not responsible?
Not responsible, going to a real
situation.
Let's
talk about that time issue.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, as you said, it's not from there,
Right. Okay, so that the Gemara will ask you your question. Exactly. Amar Rava. Refet Shamru, Enu Mita'e. The Refet, we're talking about this cowshed that we're talking about over here. Enu Mita'e, it's a case where he is not wandering off, meaning not lost. Ve'ena Mishamert. And it's also a case where it's not totally enclosed or guarded in a manner that ensures that it won't go away. Enu Mita'e, it's a case where it's not wandering, Mi'tani Enu Chayapa. Because the Mishnah says you're not responsible to return the animal. Obviously, if it's wandering, then it's lost, and then you would be responsible. So it has to be a case where it's enu mitteh, ve'enu mishameret, and it's not guarded or properly enclosed, meditzrik lemitne enu chayabba. Because the mere fact that the Mishnah had to mention this case must mean that there's something in the case that is not ordinary. If it was ordinary, then there would be no reason for the Mishnah to tell us that you don't have to return it.
Rashi seems to say
Enu Mishameret is referencing the Refet, then the Enu Mita'e, according to Rashi, is also referencing the Refet. And so the Refet, there's nothing unto in the barn or the shed that is causing the animal to want to run away or causing it to need to leave. Right? The Isakadatha Mishameret, if you think that it's a secure barn or shed, Hashta Mishkachada Vrai Ma'ayoga. If he was to find the cow outside, we said yesterday that you do not need for Aveda, the returning of Aveda, you do not need Da's Balim. So you can go and put it back into any one of his applications, not just Hashem Tishivim, not just to his bayit, but even the ginato, the chubato that are mishtameret because of Tishivim. So over here, if you could come and just drop the animal off into this shed, because it's mishtameret, because it's guarded, then certainly when it's inside, right? The gavai mishkach la migavai. It's already inside me, boy. Then you have to tell me that if you need to, you don't need to deal with this animal. Right. Must be that we're talking about a barn, a shed that is not properly secured. So over here, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the barn, of course, the barn is not causing the animal, or there's nothing untoward in the shed that is causing the animal to want to leave and run away. So therefore, the animal is calm, collected in this location, but it's not necessarily secure in the location because it's not enclosed. So in that case, we say, leave the animal alone because it looks like the animal's okay. It doesn't look like the animal's going to get lost. And the Mishnah's chiddushes don't interfere in that instance. If either two of those were right, not present, I mean, if it was enclosed, then certainly there's no issue that you should get involved with it. And if it is mita'eh, if it's causing the animal to want to run away, or it's causing there's something that is causing the animal enough fear that it wants to leave, then you might have to take it because the conclusion will be that it probably is going to leave. If it's going to leave, then it will be lost. Right? Matzah berefet eino chayav. So we found in the refet is not chayav. Amar Yitzchak v'hu shomeret chutz l'tchum. Right? That's a case where the refet is outside the tchum. Michlal. So the implications are the b'shut rabim v'afilu b'tocha tchum nami chayav. Implications from this are the next line in the Mishnah, which says if you find in the b'shut rabim you're chayav, that's even when you're inside the tchum, you'll be responsible to return it or pick it up as an aveda. Ika demanding la seifa. Some people write this on a seifa. Rishut harabim chayav ba. When it says that rishut harabim you're chayav to return it, amar Rabbi Yitzchak v'hu shomeret chutz l'tchum. It's only if it's outside the tchum. Michlal d'berefet afilu omeret chutz l'tchum. Right, even that implies that when the refet is outside the tchum, nami eno chayav ba. Then even in that instance, you are not chayav. So either way, when it comes to the refet, you're not chayav ba. Right? Either case, it's omer chutz l'tchum. The difference in lashonot will be about reshut harabim. Right? In the first case, if you were in the first lashonot, the way it was described, then in reshut harabim betoch tchum, you would still be chayav. In the second lashon, right, that the reshut harabim chayav ba is only in a case when it's outside the tchum. But if it's inside the tchum, that's considered to be ordinary. It's considered to be normal that animals are wandering around the Reshut HaRabim in the local area in the city, because at night they're going to come back home. So just because they're wandering around the city or wandering around in the public domain, that is not considered unusual, and therefore they're not classified as Aveda. Right? Tanar Banan. Minayin Shim Amarlo Aviv Hitamei Oshamarlo Altafzir Shleishamalo. How do we know this? What our Mishnah states is that when your parent tells you to do something against the Torah, that you do not have to listen to them, or you're not allowed to listen to them. Shenemar, ish imo vaviv tiro vechabtutai tishmoru ani Hashem. It says in the Parsha of Kiddushim, it says that a person must fear their parents, but right now, juxtaposed to that, at the conclusion of Pasuk, it says, you must keep my Shabbos ani Hashem. Kuchem chayavim bichvodi. That you all are chayav in my kavod. All of you are responsible to keep my mitzvot. So despite the fact that you are commanded to listen to your parents, commanded to fear your parents, nevertheless, there's a qualification to that listening or that obeying what they say, which is that the my mitzvot take precedence, and that my fear takes precedence over the fear of your parents. Now, Taima dechtiv rachman eshabtu tai tishmoru. Because the Torah writes this, or has this juxtaposition of Shabbatai Tishmor next to Ishimo Baviv Tiro, Halav Hachi, had it not been for that, Havamina at Saitaleh, that you should listen to your parents, despite the fact that you'd be violating an Isra Torah, you should listen to your parents. Vavai. Hayasei. Right, that the mitzvah of Yirat Horim, right, Ishimo Baviv Tiro, is only a mitzvah to say. Whereas Vahai, in case, for instance, the Kohen, who is going to go into the Beit HaKvarot, or in the case of the Avidah, we told you not to return it. Both of those are cases of Lotasei V'Asei. They're a combination of both an Asei and a Lotasei. And we know, V'lo Ati Asei V'Dachet Lotasei V'Asei, that Asei in general cannot overcome or override an essay and a lot essay. So what is the Havamina to suggest that in our Mishnah, or in the case that's brought here, that you should have listened to your parent and violated the Isra Torah? The violation of the Isra Torah involves both an essay and a lot essay. Listening to one's parents is only a kiyum essay. So why would it be the Havamina to say you should listen to your parents? Why do I need a pasuk to teach me not to listen to them in this instant? So Mar says, Itzrich. I would have thought, since Kibud Av V'Aim is Hukash, Rashi calls it Gzeira Shava, but that you, the Kibud of parents, is equivalent to the Kibud of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shnemar Kan, Kabedet Abicha V'et Imecha. It says, right in the Seret HaDibrot, that one must give honor to their parents, V'nemar Halan. And it says in the Mishlei, Kabedet Hashem Mehoncha, that one must, right, to be Mechabed Hashem Mehoncha, from all that you have, from all your gifts, whether those are monetary gifts or physical, Mehonecha, thank you. Kabedet Hashem Mehoncha, right, that you should have physical gifts or from monetary gifts. Hilkach, Letzayitle, right, so maybe I would have thought, since we have elevated Kibud Av V'Aim to the level of Kibud Hashem, therefore, they're on equal plane. If they're on equal plane, that means when you come to a competition between the mitzvah Hashem and the mitzvah of listening to one's parents, it's an overarching theme. It's such a great theme, it's such a big theme of Kabedet Avich V'et Imecha that will allow you to violate any other Yisra Torah because it's such a mitzvah that is held in such high regard and high esteem, equivalent of Kibud Hashem. That one would be permitted to violate. Kamash Malan, Talot Lishmele. Kamash Malan is don't listen to them in this instance, that despite the fact that Kibud Av V'Aim is on the level of Kavod Hashem, or Kibud Hashem, nevertheless, Kavod Hashem and Yirat Hashem take precedence, and therefore we do not equate the two. Now we get to the latter part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is really shifting gears, in a sense, because we, until this point, we've been dealing with the issue of Hashavat Aveda. Here, we're actually going to shift over to Prika V'Ti'ina. And that's because they're really found together in the Torah, right? In Parshat Ki Teitzei, it says, Lo Tiret Shor Achicha Otzeyo Nidachim. Don't see them lost, V'Talam Tamehem, and look away. Hashem, V'Tishivim L'Achicha, you must return them. Right? V'im Lo Karov Achicha Lecha, V'lo Yedato, if you don't know who the owner is. Asapta Tolpe Techa, bring it into your house. V'yayim Chad, Josh Achicha Oto, until he comes and claims it from you, demands it from you, V'Shivot Lo, and return it. And if it's lost items, that's what you should do. Asher tovad mimeno, umetzata, that are lost and you find them, lo tuchalit alein. Don't look as, right? Don't look askance. Lo tireh, next pasuk, lo tireh, et chamor achicha o shoro noflim baderech. Do not watch while your friend shor is on the ground. Vitalam tamehem, and ignore them. Hakeim, takeim bimo. You must try to rectify the situation with him. So the pasuk is right after. It's, they're connected, the two dinim are brought one after the other. And the same requirement of hitalamta mehem is, right, that you're not allowed to or you must not look away, is brought down in both instances. So that's one pasuk. The other pasuk is found in Shmot Perich of Gimel's in Mishpatim. And the pasuk in Mishpatim, which is, again, we're going to deal with a second in the Gemara, that when there's a load here, it seems to be more obvious what the Torah is speaking about, which is that if you have kitiv keh shorev cha uchomaro to'eh, you see them that they're lost, hashev tishiven alo, you must return it to him. So again, hashev is aveda, and right afterwards, kiter chamor som nacha rovitz tachat masa'o, you see your friend's shor, right, collapsing or unable to carry the burden, v'chaldalta mi'azov lo, right, and you refrain from helping him. No, azov t'azov imo, you must go and help him. So in both instances, we have two psukim that deal with aveda, right, and in both instances of aveda, right afterwards we find these psukim that say you must help your friend. What you're helping your friend with is not perfectly clear in the psukim. Here we're going to discuss, which is what's called prika and ti'ina, which is unloading an animal and loading up an animal. So let's see what the Gemara has to say, and then we'll just look in the psukim again. The Gemara says, mitzvah min ha-Torah lifrok avalo liton. There's only a mitzvah from the Torah to unload, but not to load. Mai avalo liton? What do you mean not to load up an animal? Ilim aloli don't cloud that there's no mitzvah to load up an animal at all. Maishna prika dichtiv. How do you know? What in the Torah, prika, unloading is written, which is the pasuk we just read from Mishpatim. Dichtiv azok tazovimo. You must help him, because over there it says that the sonachar oveitz tachat maso, that the animal is collapsing under the burden of the load. So you must, azok tazovimo means help him to unload, so the animal is no longer burdened by it. Tina na miktiv. By loading the animal, it's also written, we read this in Parshat Kitetze, which says, right there, it's not so clear what the pasuk is talking about, but it says, no foamy men with derech. It says, falling off of him on the way. So the question is, where is the merchandise right now that has fallen? Is it on him, or is it on the ground? But it says there that you must, takim takim yimo, you must reload him. Gemara's assumption at this point is that means ti'ina, loading, reloading the animal. So ti'ina na miktiv takim takim yimo. So how could you make a claim in the Mishnah that one of them is Minat Torah and the other one is not Minat Torah, but Pasuk for both Prika and Te'ina? Ela mitzvah Minat Torah lifruk b'chinam velo lit'on b'chinam ela v'schar. The difference, what our Mishnah means about Minat Torah and not Minat Torah is not that the obligation, about the obligation, you are obligated in both instances, both, right, lit'on, to load the animal up, and lifruk, to unload the animal. Right, but there's a difference between whether you must do it for free or you can be compensated for it. When it comes to unloading the animal, you must do it for free. When it comes to loading the animal, right, you must do it, but you're entitled to compensation for doing it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afliton bichinam. Shimon disagrees and says that you're obligated in both instances to do it without compensation. Tanina lahadutan rabbanan. We have a bracelet that supports this explanation. Prika bichinam, tina b'sachar. That one must unload for free, but can demand compensation when it comes to reloading the animal. That they both are done for free. My tamayu de rabbanan. What is the reasoning behind the rabbanan? What is the reason they differentiate between prika and tina, unloading and loading? Because he says, "Id sakadat chreb shimon." If the lach was a chreb shimon, lichto brachmana tina, velo bayi prika. Let the Torah simply write about loading the animal, and then I would not need to know about unloading the animal. Why? But I could have drawn the conclusion myself. When we're talking about loading up the animal, there is no tzar balechayim. And there's no loss because the animal's not collapsing under the load here. It's not that the animal's going to be injured by the load because you're just loading it up for the first time. Chayav, there you're responsible to help out. Priga, ti'itba tzar balechayim, v'chisaron kis. Priga, we're talking about unloading, which involves both tzar balechayim because it's overloaded, the animal's collapsing under it. Plus, chisaron kis, because the animal's going to be injured by the overloading. Lo koshikein, then certainly, right, you would be chayav to help out. Now, the conclusion would be to help out here with payment. B'schar, that's what Rashi says, because you would say, dayo lavo min adin leyos kenidon. So, right, if you had not written priga at all, unloading at all, then we simply would have ti'ina written, which is loading. And just like I load biskar, so too I would unload biskar. But I would have known unloading. As long as I knew loading, I would know about unloading. These all other mitzvot, like a Shabbat Veda, where you're entitled to compensation. For any time you are batel and you take care of somebody else's item, then you are entitled to, at least compensation could pull out.
Now we said that you're entitled to it, and, you say, and if you don't request compensation,
that's the Knei Mishu to Din. If you don't want to accept compensation, that's fine. But Mikar Din, you're entitled to compensation. Ella, right? So now, L'mai Hilchasot Katvei Rachmano. So if you could have learned out Prika from Ti'ina, then why did the Torah put in Prika? Now we have two psukim. One about Ti'ina, one about Prika. It was unnecessary. Why did the Torah write it? Ella Lomar Lecha. To see, tell you that Prika B'chinam Ti'ina B'schar. That prika, unloading, is done free. Tina is done with compensation. So the default status, to answer your question, Joel, the default status is that you get compensated. So by mere fact, or the fact that the Torah wrote an extraneous prika, teaches you that you don't get compensated. So that's what Rashi was referencing, is that the default status is you do get compensated. So now that we have the extraneous pasuk of prika, it teaches me that you get do it without compensation. Rabbi Shimon, my time, what's Rabbi Shimon's reasoning? Mishum to lo misai mekra. This is what we saw about Rabbi Shimon before, that the psukim are not clear. What do you mean the psukim are not clear? Rabbanan, am I lo misai mekra? What do you mean they're not clear? Achotiv roveitz tachat maso. So it's clear, it is pretty clear in the psukim and mishpatim that we're talking about prika, that we're talking about unloading. Because there it says that it's roveitz tachat maso, that he is collapsing, right? He's falling down under the load. So clearly, over there, the problem is that the load is on him, and you need to unload it. So that's the pasuk in Mishpatim. Whereas the pasuk in Kitetze is very ambiguous, it's very unclear. I'll read it to you again, which is it says Lo tiret chamor achicha shero noflim baderech. Right? What does that mean? Lo tiret chamor achicha oshoror, right? Noflim baderech, falling on the way. What does it mean that they're falling on the way? Noflim baderech. Noflim baderech. The only thing referenced in the pasuk or the subject before is shor achicha, as the shoro and chamoro, and that says noflim baderech. So what's on the ground? The shor and the chamor. That's the only thing that the Torah references. But it doesn't. But then it says, "Hakem takem yimol." You must pick him up. Sounds like, I mean, if you were to read the pasuk in the pasuk pshat, it would mean his animal fell down and pick up his animal. Right? That would be what it sounds like. It's clear from both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim that they think there's more than the animal here. But how do you know where the other object is? The Torah doesn't address it, and that's where Makhluk comes. So now. By Mishpatim it says Roveitzak Maso, so it's clearly talking about Prika. That they fell on the way. Durambo inhu vitunayu borcha. Just like the animal is on the ground, so too is the load on the ground. Because why would the load be on the animal if it's on the ground? So both of them are on the ground. Mashma, therefore we're stepping them at Tina. Because if he is on the ground and the load's on the ground, then they want it back on the animal.
Because of the Lashon Rabbi, of Nofling Baderech. That's not the end, not the shore.
It should be Nofel Baderech, right? Because of the or. Right, when you have an or, then you have a single. Right. Although the Torah, I think Lashon Torah in these instances is to use the plural. But I assume, right, that the fact that it says it
implies. What's he darshaning that?
Right, it must be the plurality of the word here, because you could have said Shor Chamor, right, Nofel Baderech. Because it's or, which would make it a singular reference, and you could use the verb in the singular. Right? These are rabim, so he's darshaning it. I'm not sure it's mukha, because I think Lashon HaTorah, in his case of the board, does use a, uses plural in those instances anyway. But Rav Shimra says, Noflim baderech, inu, vitanayu alayu. And that Noflim baderech could mean that the animal's falling, but where is the load? The load is on the animal itself. I mean, just like Wavitz, Tachat Maso, it would almost be logical. Because when you say Wavitz, you meant Tachat Misao. So here, Nofel is also Tachat Misao, that he's under the load, right, Misao, that is on his back. And that's why he's Nofel Baderech. So he's in Mashba. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, it's not clear to me that there is a Tupsukimia, that there is a Prika and a Tina over here. Possibly that they're both Prika, or there's a mix. So Amar Rava. So this is a very important statement by Rava. Right, Midivre Shnehem. From both of their words, both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, Nomad, Tzar Balachayim De'oraita. The Tzar Balachayim is Min HaTorah. V'afiru Rabbi Shimon lo kamar, Rabbi Shimon lo misay mikra. And Rabbi Shimon only says over here that because the psukim are not clear, right, that therefore, right, we have to write prika, because we wouldn't have known what it meant when it said, Nofel Baderech. Noflim Baderech, had it just read Noflim Baderech, I would have said that Noflim Baderech means prika. So therefore, when it writes, right, Roveitz Tachat Maso and Mishpatim, it's coming to teach you that Noflim Baderech is really Te'ina. Because had I just written the puzzle of Noflim Baderech without anything else, I would assume that meant Prika. Now I write Prika that is found Tachat Maso, it must tell me that Noflim Baderech is something else. What else is it? It must be Te'ina. So Rishimu says both Sukim are necessary. Want to teach me Prika and Tina, because I had written just the Pasuk of Tina, I wouldn't have known it was Tina. I would have thought it was Prika, and I couldn't have learned out Tina. Whereas the Chamin believe, no, the Pasuk of Tina, Noflim Baderech means Tina, and I would have learned it that way. And therefore, I don't need the Pasuk of Prika. The Pasuk of Prika is unnecessary, extraneous. For that I learned that it's Chinam and not Sachar, whereas Rishimu says I have neither of those. And therefore, there's no difference between Prika and Tina, and they will both be, right, they should both be Bechinam, according to Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
Okay? Right, so now, when we said, Afilu Shalom Kamar Rabbi Shimon Blom Isami Kra, Abba Isami Kra, Yidar Shinan Kav HaChomer. Had we known that the Pasuk in Kitetze was talking about Tina for sure, he would have learned the Kav HaChomer. Mishom Mai, why? Why would he have learned that? La Mishom Tzar Bali Chayim, Dar Shinan. Right, so maybe the whole reason here, why would he learn the Kav HaChomer? The Kav HaChomer we just explained before was because by Prika there is Tzar Bali Chayim, and by Tina, that's what the Gemara is going to ask in 1 second, there's two things that the Gemara brought, about Tzar Kalagam and Chisro and Kis, who says that Tzar Bali Chayim is the real reason, but at least until this point, the Gemara assumes that Tzar Bali Chayim is the reason for the Kav HaChomer. By Prika there is Tzar Bali Chayim, by Tina there is no Tzar Bali Chayim. And therefore, you would have had a kal v'chomer, which indicates that both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim believe that Tzar Bali Chaim is min ha-Torah. So if you want, all right. So now here, this sugya is going to begin the main sugya in Shas of what we call Tzar Bali Chaim. And you'll see that there's not much to it. I mean, there's not much. In terms of the Gemara just queries about whether Tzar Bali Chaim is min ha-Torah or Tzar Bali Chaim min d'Rabbanan. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss throughout this Amud over here. Is it min d'Oraisa or min d'Rabbanan? The Gemara does not deal with what is the source for Tzar Bali Chaim min d'Oraisa, that it's min ha-Torah. The Gemara just gives it as an assumption, or it's a given, Tanakha, that Tzar Bali Chaim is min ha-Torah.
What do you mean? We just saw the Pesukim.
But that doesn't, we're going to see in a minute that you don't have to explain the Pesukim with Tzar Bali Chaim. It could all be about Chisam and Kis, which the Gemara will discuss in a minute. What is the source for Tzar Bali Chaim min ha-Torah? We have Machlokas. That's Machlokas min ha-Rishonim. Many of the Rishonim, like David just said, says, Azov, Tazov, Ima.
Right. Because they say, why would I think it would be
very good. Right, both reasons. So very good. So Rashi and the Ritva in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufka Chedem at Bet, there, where the Gemara discusses the Tzar Bali Chaim, Rashi and the Ritva refer to the reference back to this Gemara and say, the source for Tzar Bali Chaim in the Torah is Azov, Tazov, Ima. That's exactly it, that you have to help him. When it's under its load, that is the source for Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa. And the Rabbi Kiv Eger says it's an aseh. That would be the aseh. Azov Tazov Imo is an aseh mid'Oraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim.
If you see a bird here now, it doesn't belong to anyone. So is it a din or not?
Right, there may not be. Right, that's actually a machlokas. It's a machlokas whether you have to help an animal with Tzar Bali Chaim. If it doesn't have owners, there is a machlokas whether you have to help it. Right, next, the Me'iri here says that the source for Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa is Lo Tachsom Shor V'Disho. Alright, not from the Halacha Mazov Tazov Imo, but rather Lo Tachsom Shor V'Disho, that you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it is plowing, working, because that was pain for the animal. So there you must be the Tzar Bali Chaim is d'Oraisa. The Mor Nevuchin, the Rambam, believes an unbelievable source for the Tzar Bali Chaim in the Torah. The Rambam is discussing over there, Mor Nevuchin, it's in Chelek Gimel. Simon Yud Zayin, the Rambam is discussing about Hashkacha Pratis. Does Hashem have Hashkacha Pratis? So, the Rambam's conclusion is he brings down five different shitot. The fifth shitah, which he brings is Shitat HaTorah, says that Hashem has Hashkacha Pratit to the Prat when it comes to individuals, when it comes to humans. Then Hashem is Hashkacha Pratit down to the details. He says when it comes to Balei Chayim, other Balei Chayim chutz me people, then there's what he calls Hashkacha Pratit Bichlau, but not Bifrat. That to the species as a whole, there's Hashkacha Pratit, or in general, there's Hashkacha Hashem, but not down to every detail. And there, in the Mor Nevuchim, he says that, where do we have this? It says, the Torah asks Bil'am, when he is riding his donkey, it says, Amah hikita et atoncha. Why did you hitch your donkey? So the Torah is challenging Bil'am's, or hitting of his donkey, because that is, according to the Rambam, Tzar Bali Chaim. And the Torah's challenge of Bilam in that instance is the indication that the Torah believes that Tzar Bali Chaim is min ha-Torah. So the source, according to the Rambam, in the Mordechai Buchim, is Amal Kita et Atonetcha. So that's it.
That, even if you learn from there, that shows you that you can't actively cause Tzar to Bali Chaim.
Right.
It's not the same thing as saying that if you happen to pass by a Bali Chaim that's in Tzar, that you're obligated to...
So they said once there is Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa, then you have to deal with it in all situations. You're right, there was an active form of Tzar Bali Chaim. But once there is, the Gemara's assumption, by the way, it's like clear here, that once if the Gemara claims that it's d'Oraisa, you must help and you must be involved. It's mid-Rabbanan, then you don't have to get involved. It also deals with that a little bit. Why does the Gemara not answer other different answers? The Gemara has a clear assumption. D'Oraisa, you must help. D'Rabbanan, you don't have to help. It's the whole sugya lays out this way. Right now, I don't know who this is, but the Sefer Yom HaTrumah brings the source for Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa is by the case in Parshat Chukat, where Hashem, most of the people are complaining for water, and Hashem tells Moshe to go hit the speak to the cell, and Moshe hits the cell to bring the water out. Says, "Vatzeitim lachem ma'im in haselah v'shkita et ha'ida v'et b'iram." So you see that there was a value in feeding the Bi'iram. Now you could argue there that Bi'iram was the Chisaron Kis aspect. They want to feed them and their Bi'iram so they don't lose all their Bi'iram. But he indicates that the Din D'Oraisa is that the Torah gives value to feeding both, giving water to the humans and giving water to the animals. So that's indicative of the fact that Tzar Bali Chaim is the Oraisa.
What is the animal before people? Is that Shema?
feed your animal before you
you have to feed your animals before you feed yourself, right? So that'd be another good source. I didn't see anybody quote that, but again, it says there's a. The Chasam Sofer quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim of Rachamav al Kuma Asaf, that the Shem's Rachamim is in all his creation, not just on human beings, but on all his creation. Rachamav al Kuma Asaf. That's what the Chasam Sofer quotes, although that's a Divrei Kabbalah, but that's what he quotes as the one of the sources for Tzar Bali Chaim. Alright, then you have the.
The whole concept was Shiloh HaKen. You can't say Shiloh HaKen because of Racham.
Right.
You know.
Right. But there, the Gemara is first of all, it's a machlokes in the Gemara Brachot, whether you can say it or cannot say it. One is because Matel Kin Abu Briot, Maaseh Bereishit. The other one is because that is that you're changing the mitzvot Hashem to Yod Racham. But according to the first reason, it's clear that the reason is Racham. It's just that we don't want to be Matel Kin Abu Briot. So there is a machlokes, but that is the. Right, the other possibility is the Ritva, who's quoted here in the Shittim of Gubetzis, this is Halacha the Moshe B'Sinai. It's always the way to get out of anything that doesn't have any source in the Gemara, is to say it's Halacha the Moshe B'Sinai.
No, the Gemara says, what does it say here?
Right.
It seems that there is some kind of a source. I mean, it's not that.
But the Vreshdem, we know from their statements that there must be such a concept. Where that concept comes from, we don't know. So Ritva in the Shittim of Gubetzis quotes it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Now, the one other possibility is if Rebbeim says that it's halachta bidrachav, that you must emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a rachum b'chanun, so too, you must be a rachum chanun, and that would extend to animals as well. It's interesting to add that there's also a Ramban. The Ramban of the Torah in Breshit says, lo tochlu, you're not allowed to eat the animals, right? Eber min achai from the blood, ki nefesh kol basar damohu. Right, that is the original Isur in Breshit that Adam may not eat balei chayim. Over there it says you can't eat them. Nefesh kol basar damohu, right? That the nefesh kol basar is damohu. That is its life. The nefesh is the life. So Rambam writes, the Ramban over there writes an interesting statement. He says, ki yitir baguf b'chay. Why are we allowed to eat animals? Because the guf, the body, eino midaber achar amita. That it has nothing. Once an individual or an animal is dead, the body is going to decompose. The body has nothing left to it. Lo nefesh atzma, but not the nefesh itself. Because the nefesh, right, extends, or the life force, extends beyond, or goes beyond the body itself. And therefore, you can eat the body, but you can't eat the nefesh. You can eat the meat, but you can't eat the blood. Vizetam shchita. That's why we have shchita in the Torah, to get rid of the blood, to kill the animal. Vizet shamru, tzar balechayim doraisa. And this is why they say Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, because animals are not simply an inanimate object. They're animate objects, they have a nefesh. Since they have a nefesh, they also have a requirement, or they have a din of Tzar Bali Chaim mi Doraisa. I don't know, the Ramban doesn't say it clearly that this is the source, but he definitely quotes that that's the reason for Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa is because.
A human being, is he even Michlal and Tzar Bali Chaim?
It's a machlokas, it's a very good question. Machlokas
meaning the answer is yes.
Yes, right, because a Adam is just an extended behemah, right? Meaning that's beyond the nefesh, it's a medaber. But right, there is a machlokas whether Tzar Bali Chaim applies to Adam or not. Does not apply. You might have a different issue about the Recha Kamocha. Independently, whether Tzar Bali Chaim applies is a question, right? That's a possibility why, and we'll give you that, why it's midoraisa is a chazanish. Couldn't find it. I looked last night for a long time to find the chazanish. The chazanish makes a statement that sometimes the Torah does not give an explicit mitzvah. Doesn't tell you an explicit, what we call Das Torah. But it's clear from numerous mitzvot, or numerous indications from the Torah, that Torah is marich, right? Gives value to this principle. So I would just say, if you just look through, and I would say this, the Chazon Ish himself does not say it about Tzar Bali Chaim, but I would say it about here, that you see all the sources that are brought down here, from all the different Mishonim, which say, Azot Tazomim, Lo Tachsom Shor B'Tisho, right, Amar Kita Et Atonecha, right, Ve'Hotzad Alechem Mayim Nesela V'Shkita Teida Bet Biram, V'Rachamav Al-Kol Ma'asav, right, if I take all these, V'Alachtem Drachav, if I take them all together, the Torah is painting a clear picture. The Torah is painting a picture that it cares about Tzar Bali Chaim. Right, not that there is, sometimes the Torah doesn't spell out an explicit mitzvah, but it's clear that the Torah believes that it's a mitzvah, the Torah believes that there's value to this principle, and therefore it will become a Torah principle, which is that Tzar Bali Chaim is important. And the Rabbaz, the Shutta Rabbaz says over here, that there is a mitzvah in a Torah of Tzar Bali Chaim, but it has no aseh or lo taseh. Right, there is no specific aseh, the Rabbaz. And the Shutta Rabbaz says that there is no specific aseh or lo taseh, But it is a mitzvah min haTorah.
But there's a Rambam. Rambam has that concept in general also, that when there is a mitzvah that is encompassed by other mitzvahs, so it's not strictly enumerated as one of the mitzvahs, but it's still a mitzvah from Torah.
Right. That's it. Right. They argue that. Right. Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, but Rambam.
Right.
All right. So, but that idea, but the Chazon Ish says that there will be a mitzvah min haTorah. I'm just saying, based on the Chazon Ish, he himself doesn't say this, that the Torah's Ma'ariv gives you a principle that is repeated, seems to be underlying many mitzvot. It seems to be underlining many mitzvot, including Shlurach Kain, right? That would be possible, that is the Torah's conveying, that is an important principle, and that is a mitzvah d'oraisa, even without an aseh lo taseh, but it is a Torah principle of Tzar Bala Chaim. Right, just a quick overview of what Tzar Bala Chaim, how it applies, or why it applies in the Torah, where the source for it is in the Torah.
There are certain times where we see that you should do something because it's achzarius. Because it's achzarius, you should do. Why? Because it's achzarius. We're in the Torah, say don't be an achzar.
Right. That might be there. It might be because of midat zdom. After kamocha, it depends. You have to know where the gemara is being mafil in those instances. That also, the Ramban says it in Sita Yashar Batov. Do right. He says the Torah can't enumerate everything to do. It gives you civil laws, but it can't tell every situation. It can't come up in every situation. So it gives you a general principle of Asita Yashar Batov. Do the right thing. Right. The Ramban quotes it by Kedoshim Tiyu. He quotes that by Asita Yashar Batov, and he says the same principle. The Torah has, in many instances, overarching principles that are assays that encompass everything. The assay of Kedoshim Tiyu, Asita Yashar Batov, Shvot, by Shabbos. The principle that you must be Shovet on Shabbos, which is an assay, an encompassing, over-encompassing, overarching assay. So he says the Torah has this in many places, these overarching assays. I think that's what you're referencing, that there are, even though they're not explicitly enumerated, the Torah is giving a principle which is defined by some of the mitzvot that are found there, but not by, it encompasses everything. But you have to ask, in all those cases, you have to ask whether the Gemara is speaking in Doraisa level. Here the Gemara makes an explicit statement that it's Doraisa. The question is, what is the source for the Gemara? Now, Tosas asks over here that we know in Avodah Zarah, it says that the Gemara says that you're allowed to burn a king's possessions. You're allowed to burn the king's possessions and be okir his animals, right, when it comes to his death. Gemara says this, isn't that Darche Amori? Gemara says, no, because Mishum Kvod HaMelech V'Nasi Adif. And therefore, since the Kvod Melech HaNasi Adif, and there's purpose to it, it's not considered Darche Amori, it's because of the Kvod HaMelech HaNasi. Therefore, you're allowed to violate Baal Tashchit Min HaTorah for Kvod Nasi and Melech. And so it says the same thing will apply here by Tzar Balei Chaim. Even though there is a din of Tzar Balei Chaim, nevertheless, we violate it, or we overcome it because of this Kvod HaMelech. So it seems like the Kvod HaMelech overcomes Baal Tashchit, meaning that it might be that Tzar Balei Chaim only applies where there's no purpose. That, right, Baal Tashchit only applies where there's no purpose. Once you have purpose, then it's not Baal Tashchit anymore by definition. Tzar Balei Chaim, again, it's only when it's purposeless or senseless, right, or it's pain that's being caused, that is not necessary, that it could be prevented. But if it has to be, I mean, for instance, you can shecht an animal. We don't say that Tzar Balei Chaim, you can't shecht an animal at all. No, but it has to be shechted in a certain manner, or the best way to do it, so that it doesn't create Tzar Balei Chaim. But nevertheless, you're still allowed to shecht the animal. So maybe over there, that it's suspended because of the Kvod Nasin, Kvod Melech, we suspend Baal Tashchit, we suspend Tzar Balei Chaim. Right now, the Gemara says, and I asked the question that Yossi asked before, says, Zomu Mishum Deikach Chisaron Kish. Maybe the whole Chavah Chomer is premised on Chisaron Kish. V'achi Kamar Mati, Nedalei Baich Chisaron Kish Chayav, Prika Deikach Chisaron Kish Lo Koshikain. The Gemara says, V'tiina Yibach Chisaron Kish. Since when does Deina not have Chisaron Kish? Milo Askinen Dadahaki V'achi Batel Mishuke. The guy's not going to reach the shuk. Meaning that if you don't help him load up, he's going to lose his chance to sell his wares in the shuk. Inami, Atu Ganbe Vishatle, or Ganevim are going to come and take it away. They're going to steal all his stuff. Gemara says, Komadi Gabade, everything he has there. He says, Teda. So now Gemara says, alright, Gemara leaves it and says it's not conclusive. Kisaron Kis is not conclusive. Really sounds like it's coming from Tzar Balei Chaim. Now Teda, the Gemara says, that Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa. Let's support this position of Rava. That Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. Why? The Tani Seifa. Look at the end of our Mishnah. So this is what you asked in the Mishnah, right, Joel? Rabbi Yosef Leo Mary Maya Lav Yeter Masa'oi in Zakuklo. If he has more than his load on him, then you don't have to help him. Shinamar Tachat Masa'o Masa'oi Sheachol Lamotlo. That he has to be loaded properly to start with. If he wasn't loaded, if he's overloaded to start with, that means that you're not obligated to help out. Lav Nichal the Tanakama Savar must mean that Rabbi Yosef Lili says this, that the Tanakama disagrees and says Zakuklo. That you do have to help him when he's overloaded and he was. From the beginning, overloaded, you still have to help him. My time up. La Mishum, Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa. Isn't it because Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa? And that's their argument. Right? Dilma, Betachet Masofli. No. Maybe they both agree that Tzar Balei Chaim is with the Rabbanan, but they're arguing about what the word Tachet Maso means. Rabbi Yossi says, "Darshin and tachad maso masui shechol amot po." Rabbi Yossi says that when the pasuk says tachad maso means an appropriate load. If it's not appropriate load, you don't have to help him. Rabbanan sarve lo darshin and tachad maso. We just don't. That's not a qualified statement. Tachad maso just means his burden. It doesn't mean the burden that he's supposed to have. Just his burden. His burden. It can be any burden that's on it. Whatever's on the back of the animal. So based on that, right, we don't have a clear understanding. What is clear from here in the Gemara, you're going to see this further on the Gemara, that Rabbi Yosef Galili believes that Tzar Bala Chaim is only Mid Derabanan. And you asked him before, how could you leave it on the animal? Gemara's assumption is that Tzar Bala Chaim is Mid Derabanan, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, and that's why you can leave it on the animal. You don't have to take care of it. And that's the underlying assumption of the Gemara. If it's Derabanan, you don't have to take it. You don't have to worry about it. If it is Derabanan, you have to deal with it.
He gives it to us, and the Torah said it's a certain case. You know, we look at Tzar Bala Chaim as a subtil issue. It's nice, it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's suggested by Tzar Bala Chaim. Don't do it if the guy put on too much maso, and then, you know.
Right. That seems strange. I mean, that the whole purpose of it is Tzar Bala Chaim. I deal with
Tzar Bala
Chaim. You could argue that. I think that's hard to argue that way when you're dealing with the problem of an animal and to let it go. It doesn't make so much sense. All right, David, Tzar Bala Chaim left, right? So. Right, it was overloaded, right? Hey, the Tzar Bala Chaim lav d'oraisa, the Tzar Bala Chaim is not min haTorah. Let's prove it the other way against the Rova. Tani Reisha, Alach v'yashav lo. If the Balim go and sit down, Ramalo, ho v'alecha mitzvah lifrok, prok. Right, you do it. Patur, you don't have to do it. Shenem arimo, you have to do it with him, not alone. V'yisa v'adach, the Tzar Bala Chaim d'oraisa, mali ita l'marei v'adei, mali lo li ki let l'marei v'adei. If the whole issue is Tzar Bala Chaim, who cares whether the owner joins you or doesn't own you, join you? So what's Yossi going to say? It's there's a klatu, but it's clear from the Gemara that they believe when it's del rice, you've got to do something. It's a rabbanan, you can let it go. So Gemara says, "Lola, tzar bala chaim del rice." Misavrat patur the gamrei. When the Mishnah says patur, it doesn't mean patur the gamrei. But Dilma, what does it mean? Patur bechinam b'chayav b'schar. The patur over here means that you no longer have to do it for free, but you have to do it because it's tzar bala chaim. But now you can charge him for it. I mean that if it's imo, then you're doing what the Torah prescribes. Then you have to do bechinam. If it's not with him, right, then you're doing it because of the Tzar Bala Chaim. Tzar Bala Chaim, you can charge him for that prikah. When he's with you, do it free. If he's not with you, do it for compensation. But the conclusion would be that Tzar Bala Chaim is Doraisa, or it could be Doraisa. So again, from our Mishnah, it's inconclusive. I mean, the Gemara is able to explain our Mishnah both whether Tzar Bala Chaim is Doraisa or whether Tzar Bala Chaim is Midrabanan. Where it says, Lema Misayle, let's bring a proof from here. Behemat, Uvei Kochavim Etafel Ba Kebehemat Yisrael. That you have to take care of a non-Jewish behemat, just like you have to take care of a Jewish behemat. Iyomar Bishlamat Tzar Bala Chaim Do Raisa. If you say Tzar Bala Chaim Do Raisa, Mishum Hachim Etafel Ba Behemat Yisrael, right? Behemat Yisrael. That's why you have to deal with a non-Jewish behemat. Because ownership should be irrelevant to Tzar Bala Chaim. I mean, it has to do with the animal, not the ownership. Hello, Iyomar Tzar Bala Chaim Lab Do Raisa, Amai Etafel Ba Kebehemat Yisrael. Why do you have to deal with this non-Jewish, right, behemah? If it's all about Yisrael, it's only the Rabbanan will only institute it for a achicha, your common, the Israelim that need your help. So when it says, halka mishumeva, well, that's not a problem. That it could be that Tzar Bala Chaim is with the Rabbanan. The reason we obligate you to help out the non-Jewish behemah, or load, is because of behemah, just like we return Aveda because of Eva. Right? There's only an obligation to turn Aveda to a Jew, but Mishum Eva, we would also return it to a non-Jew. The extension to non-Jews is Mishum Eva, even though the obligation is only within our, right, within the closed group of Israel, unless we extend it beyond so that there shouldn't be issues of Eva. Achinam Mistab, and Kumar says that makes a lot of sense, that it is Midrabanan issues Eva. Yitani, Imaita Tuna, Yayin Asur, if it was carrying on its back Yayin of Isur, stuff that you couldn't use, meaning that it's Yayin Nesek. Ain't zakukla, you don't help it. If you say not, it's not daraisa. Mishumach ain't zakukla. That's why you don't have to deal with it. Oh, yamar daraisa, my ain't zakukla. How could it be? Just because there's yain isur on the back of the animal, why shouldn't you be able to help it out and take care of zeh lesar by the chayim? So he says, Gemara says, now hafikamar, you're reading it wrong. Ula tina yain asur ain't zakukla. Now there, we're not talking about prika, unloading. Unloading, you would take it. Even if it was yain asur, of isur, you would take it off. It says, but yain yisur ain zakukla when it has to be loading it on. When it's loading on the animal, there you have no obligation to help out because you can squeeze your way out of it. As Rashi says over here, when it's lav d'oraisa, I love the rest of the time, mishum eva, mishum ach ain zakukla, that's what you have to do with it. Sheyachol yishamet, mar davar yisur lanu. If you don't make a blanket statement that I don't help non-Jews at all, That won't create a va. He says, in this specific instance, where it's yayin shall be sore, that I'm not allowed to do. But if it had been anything else, I would help you out. That won't create a va, because that's a derabanan. But if you say it's midah, right, so, and you have to help in all cases. Otherwise, like Gemara says, Rafi kamar latina, so Rashi again says, lolam doraisa, the mitzvah is doraisa. Reisha tana metapopa, ben prika, ben tina. When you have to deal with the guy, that is both tina and prika, you have to deal with him. Now, by yayin of isur, prika mishum tsar bali chayim, you have to unload the non-Jewish animal because of tsar bali chayim. Utina mishum eva, and you have to load it because of eva. Ulatina yayin asur. Right, or yayin isur. When it comes to loading yayin isur, v'lav tsara ika, there's no tsar bali chayim. V'lav ika, eva ika, there's no hatred, again, because it's a specific one instance. Right, in zakukla. So basically what the Gemara does now, it says, even according to what it says, tsar bali chayim d'oraisa, that issue is only an issue of prika. When it comes to ti'ina, right, it's not an issue of tsar bali chayim, that's an issue of eva. When it comes to eva, we always qualify and say by yayin shel isur that you don't have to deal with it. Because so there, if it's mit rabbanan, both prika and ti'ina, then yayin shel isur will be included both in the prika and the ti'ina. Because if one item is out of the picture, you don't have to deal with it. Whereas if it's tsar bali chayim d'oraisa, that won't be true by prika, but it will be true by ti'ina, that you don't have to deal with yayin shel isur. So Mar says, tashma. Be'imato me'ib kachavim masu Yisrael v'chadalta. Right, when it comes to a behema of a non-Jew, and the load is a Jewish load, right, v'chadalta, then you can walk away. V'yamart, tsar bala chayim d'oraisa. If tsar bala chayim is d'oraisa, my v'chadalta, why can you walk away? Azov tazov mi bai, you should have to help him out, right, because the animal is suffering here. Dolam tsar bala chayim d'oraisa. Ha'atam b'ti'ina. Again, we're not talking about unloading, we're talking about loading. So you are in seifa. If you're talking about loading, what are you going to do with the seifa of this braisa? Behemat Yisrael u'masuei obeit kachavim. If it's a behemat Yisrael and the load is a non-Jewish load, azov tazov, then you must help him out. Vibi tima, if you turn that loading up, amay azov tazov. Why should you help him out? Right? It says mishom tzara di Yisrael, right? Because of the tzara of Yisrael. Yachi, if we're worried about the tzara Yisrael, the Jewish problem here, yachi afil reisha. Right, Nami, also by the Reisha, but it's a Behemat Yisrael, and he's going to lose money if his animal collapses over here, if it doesn't come along. If it's not loaded properly. I mean, that if it's not loaded properly, he's not going to earn his money, he's not going to walk and hurt, injure his animal. So where it says, Reisha Bechamar, Awit Kechavim, Sefer Bechamar Yisrael. The Reisha, the Bryce, is not only talking about, it's a non-Jewish Behemah, a non-Jewish driver, and just the load is the Jewish load. So over there, you have no obligation to help out because there's no tzar of Israel. The driver and the load are both non-Jewish, so there's nothing to talk about. Alright, on the other hand, in the Sefer, we're talking about a case of Behemat Israel, Sefer, Bechamar Israel, that the Sefer is talking about where cases it's a Behemat Israel, and it's a Jewish driver, and the Masui is a non-Jewish Masui. So over there, even though maybe there's no tsar bali chayim because we're talking about ti'ina over here, nevertheless, you have to help out because there is a chamar, a driver is a Jewish driver. And you can't let the Jewish driver just hang out on the road over here. So by the way, that would be what David was asking earlier about ti'ina, right? Whether you have to help out the load over here. Here you're helping out the load not because of azov tazov imo necessarily, but because of a requirement of after echamon. You must take care of, you have to help out this chamar yisrael, the tsar of Yisrael. Where it says, my pasat. How do you know that you have a Jewish driver or a non-Jewish driver? All the Braisa addresses is whether the animal and the load have to do with Jews. How do you know who the driver is? It says, in general, the animal and the driver are of a common breed. I mean that both, if it's a non-Jewish animal, the assumption is that the driver is also non-Jewish. If it's a Jewish animal, the assumption is that it's a Jewish driver. That's the underlying assumption that the behemah, not the load, but the animal which dictates who's driving over here. So where it says, right? Doesn't it say, wait a minute, you just quoted over here in the Braisa that chadalta and azov tazov, meaning when you want to say you can leave it and not help out, it says bechadalta. If you want to help out, it says azov tazov. That is found in the pasuk where? That's found in the pasuk in Kiteitze. That's a pasuk of prika. You just want to explain this Braisa as being ti'ina. You're quoting me psukim from prika. So I'm like, hi, Mani. So now, we're just going to say, who's the author of this Braisa? Rabbi Yossi Agbilihi. It's Rabbi Yossi Agbilihi. It's not the Mishnah. Braisa Damar Tzar Bal Chaim Lav Doraisa. To answer your question, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Agbilihi clearly holds that Tzar Bal Chaim is Dirabanan, because he doesn't necessitate you, right, to take off an overload of an animal. So it must be that he holds Tzar Bal Chaim is only Dirabanan. Right, Tashma. Ohev lifrok v'sone liton. If you have a good friend who needs to unload, and a sone liton, and someone who you dislike, that you have to be to'ain, you have to load up. Mitzvah v'sone. Better to deal with the one you don't like, kedei lakuf et itzro. In order to, right, improve your midot, to work on your midot, better to help up the one you don't like, than to help up the one you like. V'sach adat v'tzar b'alechaim d'oraisa. Right, if you think that Tzar Bala Chaim is a Raisa, I'd be flay. Right, why would you, how could you say, do the Tina first before the Prika? Because the Din of Tzar Bala Chaim. You have to do the unloading first because you have the Din of the Raisa of Tzar Bala Chaim. The Kofit Tzro, that's a nice thing, fixing the Midot. Where it says, Afilu Hachik, daily Kofit Tzro, Adif. No, that's what where it says, no, the Kofit Tzro is such an important principle that a principle, whether it's a principle of the Raisa or such an important principle, that it overrides Tzar Bala Chaim. Right, similar to what we said above by the Tosfot. Tosfot said before by Kvod Melech and Nasi that we're okay to be emot, even though it's Tzar Bala Chaim, that's the Oraisa. Nevertheless, we allow you to do it because there's purpose. There's toelet in the Tzar Bala Chaim. Also over here, there's toelet in the Tzar Bala Chaim because by you helping out your sonet first before the Oev, your kofet et itzro. So now, talking about prika. When it comes to prika, it says sonet shamru in the pasuk that you have to help out by prika is only a sonet Israel. It's only talking about a Jewish person. You must help out. But no sonel with kachmim, not a non-Jew. Be my tzar b'al chaim d'oraisa. If you think tzar b'al chaim is d'oraisa, mali sonel Israel, mali sonel with kachmim. Who cares who the owner is over here? Tzar b'al chaim d'oraisa. It should be irrespective of who the owner is. You should have to help out. Right now we're talking about prika here. This is prika because sonel is mentioned in the pasuk by prika. Right, but the pasuk says that's the case in mishpatim. What does the pasuk say in mishpatim? The pasuk says in mishpatim. So prika is talking about a case of sone. So the price here is qualifying. What is sone? The sone is a sone Israel, not a sone of chachamim. So here my tzar bala chaim d'oraisa, so mali sone Israel, mali sone of chachamim. What do we mean? Here we're not talking about the sone of the pasuk. We're not defining what the sone of the pasuk is. A sone de mas nisan kaye. We're talking about the sone mas nisan, which is what you just said. That's how you misunderstood it before, right? That is exactly the right understanding now, which is that the sone we're referencing over here is not the sone of the pasuk. We're defining what the sone is in the ti'ina case. Who's that sone? That's a sone Israel, not a sone of the kochavim, right? A sone masirin, sone de mas nisan, right? Just what this Tosfos. Tosfos says la kufit titro over here. He says, that we're talking about here a case of Yisro that you're allowed to hate. That you saw something bad about him. Why do you have to be kovei titro? If the whole purpose here is the sone versus ohev, the sone over here is a person who did something wrong. Did something wrong, meaning he was violating Yisur min Torah, and therefore you have permission to hate him. If you have permission to hate him, what's the kofet yitzro? Why do you have to go help him out? You're supposed to hate him over here. If you're supposed to hate him, then why is there any inyan of kofet yitzro? The Ish Lomar, so Tosfos makes a qualification, he says, the Lomar v'sone dekra. And we're not talking about, in this bright mission over here, we're not talking about the sone of the sone of pasuk, which is qualified by violating Yisur Torah, where you're permitted to be sone. Well, sone over here is as opposed to ohev. Meaning that there's someone who's close, you're close to, your friend. And sone, the sone means not somebody that you hate because he did something wrong, but somebody you hate means someone that you are not ohev. I mean, it's not your friend, someone that either maybe you don't love, or maybe someone that you have altercations with, but not someone that you're permitted to hate min haTorah. So there's a mitzvah of sone, right, of be kofet yitzro, and to be ma'adif, the sone, over the ohev. Right, we'll stop over here, we'll continue, we'll finish up the sugya tomorrow, right?